Thanks, guys. Good morning. Well, it is good to be here. And this weekend works out great for me. I'm not far down the road. And Thanksgiving weekend, it's not like you're going to jump on a plane and do a full-blown weekend on a Thanksgiving weekend. So we connected through a mutual pastor friend back home. And so pastor just came on my heart this year. And I did. I reached out and I said, hey, if you want to do that same weekend. So this is the same weekend I was here last year. He said, yeah, we'll do it. No, he said, let me pray about it. So now he said, I would love to. So I'm glad to be here. Listen, this is not a sacrifice for me to be here. I get passionate about what I say because I believe it. I believe what I say. Man, I wouldn't travel 45 weekends a year, honestly. I guess somebody might be doing that. I don't know. I hope not. But I wouldn't travel 45 weekends a year and preach this stuff if I didn't believe it and it didn't transform my life and I didn't believe that it was right in the sight of God and the way to live our life. Amen? So that's why I get passionate and can't help it. I'm not preaching to you my doctrine. This is my life. This is what I live. He gave me new life. And, you know, we talked a lot last night about it, about the self-centeredness of life. And, you know, a fellow was talking to me today about emotions. And I said, well, think about emotions. Every emotion that you and I have experienced and known in our lives growing up all came up out of a self-centered wellspring. Like you and me being self-centered. That's where anger comes from, discouragement, frustration, self-consciousness. And the subtle trap is that you and I, that's all we've known from the time we can remember, that all of a sudden we just start thinking that's normal and that's just the way we're always going to be and that's the way people are. But that's not the way we were created, I promise you. And there's something called new life through Jesus Christ. There's a whole new way of living. There's a putting off of the old and a putting on of the new. So he talks about in Matthew, he talked about seeking first, Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom of God. Now you be honest with me. If you and I really are adamant about seeking first the kingdom of God, and we get conscious awareness of that, and we actually start applying that to our prayers, our motive, and we're actually thinking about God's kingdom, how God works, how God functions, who God is in us, wouldn't that change our responses to things? Wouldn't we respond different in situations if we were seeking first, not second, first, the kingdom of God? If we were thinking first for the kingdom, wouldn't that change how you and I respond to certain things? Now, come on, if it's just about me and I have my own identity in me and I'm trying to find my identity and only realize through you, do you know how many people try to find themselves through others? How many people are self-conscious? How many people actually have low esteem? You know, there's a lot of addictive behaviors in people's lives. And if you look at it, the number one reason, I don't know, you probably know this, the number one reason behind addictive behaviors, the majority reason is people not thinking highly of themselves. It's a low esteem. Addictive behaviors attach to a low esteem. People that don't think highly of themselves. Ain't that something? Now, I'm not talking about the vanity of the world thinking highly of yourself. I'm talking about the value in God. He must think, and this is what no preacher ever told me, but I didn't know you, Rick. But no preacher ever told me growing up that Jesus died to redeem and restore my value. Every preacher told me he died because I was a wretched sinner and a messed up boy. But nobody ever told me that he had to die because I sinned. We get that. So my sin cost him his life. He had to die because of sin, but he didn't die because I'm a sinner. He died to restore the truth. He died to get me back to the Father. He died because I was a lost son. You follow what I'm saying? If you don't teach that, then people are just stuck where they are and they're just forgiven sinners and they're just going to stay the same with no conviction and they're at least they're forgiven. Don't know why, don't know how he can forgive me like that. Wow, God, I guess he's amazing, but that makes him mysterious and all of a sudden you can't even relate to him, let alone follow that or model that. Are you with me? Yeah. So my whole life, I was aware of my need for a savior, but I was just a forgiven sinner and there was no chance for change. My emotions were justified, my attitudes were justified. And if you really look at it, guys, the way we react to things, the way we react to people, the things we disapprove of or disagree with, the way we respond, just think about this, the way we respond in life, the way we've always responded naturally is never productive. It always puts people down. It's always at the cost of something. It's never life-giving. You think about that. That's not an accident. That's deception. It's a self-centered thing. Well, I wouldn't do this if they didn't. Well, how come? Well, I didn't deserve this. Well, why did they? Well, I hope you talk to them. Well, I didn't start it. Well, they, all that is all self-defense. It's self, justified. It's always blame shifting, and there's never life in it, and there's never a healthy end result. And all of a sudden, you get tricked into having reasons for being whatever it is you're being, and it's always somebody else's fault. And all of a sudden, the thing is dictating you, not the truth. And all of a sudden, you're a product of what you've been through and how they treated you and how it's going, instead of a product of who he is and what he accomplished. Come on, it's just the difference. It's one, I'm just going to be honest, man. One is living deceived without even realizing it, and the other one's living in truth where there's freedom. So it's a reason. We talked this morning about having a goal in Christianity and not just having a confession or a belief. I'm not saying this in a demeaning way like you believe this. I'm just saying it passionately. Guys, when I say guys, we did not just pray a prayer to go to heaven, and we're not just confessing. Christians that hold on to confession and say, oh, I believe in Jesus. That's where you begin. That's where you start. That's a starting point. Yes, I believe in him. But after you believe in him, your Christian life has to take on a form and a function. And all of a sudden, it's about becoming something and actually living something, not just believing something. Come on, honestly, if we miss believing something, we're going to get religious and won't even realize it. So we'll be good at going to church and we will never be her. So we sing these amazing songs. They're full of truth. But then we have attitudes at home in our families and in our friendships and relationships that are detrimental, and they're not seeking first the kingdom. It's not condemning what I'm saying. It's life-giving what I'm saying. We don't want to deceive ourselves. He paid an amazing price to put his life inside of us. Yeah? Not so we can just be forgiven. So we can be filled with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and we can actually have a different attitude, a different perspective, a different wisdom, a different reason for being, a different motive in life. Come on, he makes all things new. You don't incorporate him into your life. Like, he becomes your life. Like, even the Bible teaches you don't put new wine into an old wineskin. It says, or else the wineskin will burst and the wine will be spilled out. It means lost. You don't put new life into an old motive, an old way of thinking, and an old perspective. You do not, I'm sorry people teach this, but I'm just telling you, you do not pray a prayer to go to heaven. Heaven comes into you and you get a new perspective on why you're alive. And all of a sudden, you start living your life in Christ. You did not sign up for heaven. You deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. It's called Christianity. And Christian means little Christ-like one. Are you guys all right? You're looking at me like I'm a little too wound up. I was so gentle this morning. I was just too reserved this morning. So it built up. It was early and I just was afraid. They were sleepy. So you guys are later and I figure you've got to be awake. And I was gentle this morning. I'm feeling a little more passionate right now. The people this morning say, gentle. Yeah, right. They probably feel, yeah, right. I don't know what I was. I'm just however I am. This thing is worth living. It was worth him giving his life for. This stuff goes through me all the time, guys. I'm like thinking, oh my goodness, he believes his life given is worth mine lived in him. He believes that. Or he wouldn't have come. He'd let people change who he was. If his motive wasn't pure, all the injustice against him, sooner or later, he'd have snapped. Come on. How much can just a guy take? You say, well, he was Jesus. No, he was love. Yes, he was Jesus, but that's not what made him do what he did. He did what he did because he's love, and that's what he wants us to follow and become. He's on the cross. He's not dropping the cross saying, that's enough. I can't take anymore. I'm telling you, if they hit me with one more of them sticks. Come on, he's beat beyond description. He's never done anything wrong. They're spitting on him. If you read your Bible, you could not tell who he was when they were finished. Come on, this was not 39 lashes. This was beat beyond description, mercilessly. And he never did anything wrong. Well, after about two good, strong shots, you and I are out, man. Hey, I didn't sign up for this. I don't deserve this. You bunch of idiots. I've healed your sick. I've cleansed your lepers. I've fed your bellies. I've cast out your demons. And you want to do this to me? Barabbas, are you kidding me? You release him. He kills the man. I raise the dead. And you want to kill me? You guys are loco, man. And if you didn't change by now, you ain't never going to change. And I am not dying for these bunch of knuckleheads. I'm not doing it. And if he did that in the natural, in the way we were raised, in the wisdom we were taught by, we would all understand that. In fact, we'd expect it sooner. But the truth is we don't expect it because we grow up knowing who Jesus is, so we don't expect that of him. But he made us for his image and said, follow me, and the Christ in you is the hope of glory, and the things I do, you'll do if you believe. And all of a sudden, he creates this amazing relationship called Christ in us. And now you start realizing his intention. And all of a sudden you realize why he's willing to pay so much. Because he believes the purchased possession is well worth the price. Come on, I know us. You don't write the check unless you believe what you're writing it for is worth it. In fact, we wait till it's 50% off. And then we wait a couple more days and think it just might be 60. Am I telling the truth? We love two for one. We love buffet, all you can eat, set price. Us guys go to the car lot, man, we could care less about his commission, his family, or his meals. We are trying to get the best buy on the planet, and he's pleading with us, and we're sure he's lying, and we're thinking he's making out like a fat cat, and we got him knocked so low, and he finally sells the car to you, and the only reason you buy it is because you believe it's worth what you offered. Well, the Son of God shed his blood for me and paid his life for me. And he believes the purchased possession, Christ in me, is well worth the deal. So we got to make sure we get it and don't stay self-centered as Christians because it's unscriptural. There's no such thing. If you're a Christian, you've denied yourselves. You can't be a Christian for you. You're a Christian for his great name. You're not a Christian to benefit and get blessings and provision and protection and healing. I don't know why people teach that. That's not why you're a Christian, to get his blessing. You're a Christian to get his life. Come on. And in his life is the blessing. Somehow, we've got tricked into this self-serving gospel where almost all our messages benefit us without transforming us. So you can go say you're in him and he's in you and have the same attitude you had when you weren't in him and he wasn't in you. Man, I want to be convicted about that stuff. I don't want to sit with jealousy in my heart. I don't want to have self-righteousness. I want to say hi to you. Hey, man, you're cool. And then think something opposite when I turn my head and think, oh, whatever. I don't want to live insincere anymore. I don't want to live like that. I want to live like whatever it was he was when he said, follow me. That's what I want to live. Why? Because I got to live with me. I got to look in the mirror and see me. I go to bed with me. I wake up with me. And I used to not like me, but now I like it. Why? Conscience is violated. I don't have secrets. I'm not harboring things in my heart. My face is unveiled, and I'm in love. So when I lay my head on the bed at night, yay. I can actually sleep. I can wake up and be ready to roll. Are you all with me? Come on, this is a privilege we all have. Now you got to decide what you want and why you're in him and why you're here. I'm not questioning that. I want you here. But don't trick yourself. Don't just be a part of something without becoming that thing. Mm-hmm. Don't let church attendance take the place of knowing him. Don't let service within a church take the place of knowing him. Because knowing him is what transforms you. Amen. You can't try hard enough to be changed, but you can know him enough to be changed. Amen. You can get alone when nobody's looking. You can wake up in the morning, ain't nobody hearing your prayer but him in your heart. Father, I thank you for today. What a gift. Nobody owes me a thing. Man, I'm alive today for one reason, to shine. I'm done complaining. I'm done being willful. I'm done wanting for nothing. I'm just, God, I'm just, or meaning for nothing that avails. I just thank you for life that you've given me, and I thank you that it's a gift. Holy Spirit, have your way in me. What an honor to be alive in you. Man, you start like that. You wake up, you start thinking like that and start living like that. It changes your whole life. It changes your whole world. And he starts coming more alive in you, and you start realizing him more. And then somebody says something they shouldn't say, and you don't live like they said it. All of a sudden you get betrayed, and you don't spend 2 weeks being betrayed. And now you're selling cheap when you're not even for sale. And now you're letting one person decide who you are and how you are, but their name's not Jesus. That's a problem. And now you're back to self-centered deception, and it's zero. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. Man, he taught me this stuff 24, almost 25 years ago. I'm passionate about it all these years later. Not 25 weeks ago, 25 years ago, man, I'm passionate about it. Can you tell? I'm either a great actor or I'm passionate about it. It's just fun being free. I didn't know you could be this free. I didn't know that I could wake up and nobody owe me nothing until he taught me that. I thought my day had to be dictated by the things of my day. No, my day was already started before it started. The why behind my life was already settled before I woke up. And when I woke up, nobody today owed me a thing. So nobody could decide who I am and how I'm doing. That's already settled. Sounds like we're off to a pretty good start. That sure beats insecurity in your marriage. Boy, she was a little quiet today. Boy, he didn't seem to. I wonder what's on his mind. It's a shame how I always take the brunt of it. Blah, 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 blah. Next thing you know, you're feeling sorry for yourself. Now you share that with a friend. And next thing you know, you have a reason to be less than Christ. Just haven't lived that way for 24 years. It makes me like this. Sorry. It's just a good day. It's not because everybody's treated you perfect. It's because he's treated you righteous. And when I was yet a sinner, he was willing to see me as if I'd never sinned. And not only that, wipe me clean and put his life inside. And then ask me to become that way towards others. Isn't that awesome? If you don't put this thing on completely, and you just try to receive the forgiveness and don't become forgiveness, it never works that way. You'll never be free. You're forgiven to become forgiveness. You're not made to be in unforgiveness. It's the most miserable place you've ever lived. It gives you a right to be outside of him, to actually be what he never is. And then you find two or three friends that agree with you, and that's why you call them friends, because they agree. And they support you and empower you to stay there, and it's not producing life. And then you say, they're the only ones that understood and stuck with me and stood by my side. Wonder if they helped empower you to stay where you never belonged. You were never made for unforgiveness. You were made for love. Well, I can show you in your Bible. It's right in Genesis. It's right in the beginning of the book. You were made for God's image, and God is love. God doesn't do love. He is love. He made you for his image. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. As he is, so are we in this world. The whole chapter is talking about love. So the whole reason God sent his son is to restore us back to love, not take us to heaven someday when a trumpet blows. Yeah? The whole reason man's on the earth is to be found in God's image. So he says, if you're going to follow me, you have to do something. You have to deny yourself. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for his image. Let's go after the image. I can show you in Colossians 10, 3, I mean, verse 10. But to build up to there, it says, man, these things are true. You're in Christ. Your life's hidden in Christ. When he appears, you appear with him in glory. Because these things are true, put off these things. All the dictates of the flesh, sexuality, immorality, deception, blasphemy, put off anger, filthy language. He's telling you to put it all off. None of it was ever you. He didn't say manage it, find a healthy balance, and get self-control. He said, kill it as you know it. Put it off. Why? Because you're crucified with Christ. And everything that was never intended to be you dies in him. And when you rise in the newness of life, Romans 6. Isn't that awesome? It's called born again. As if I never lived before. The old man is dead. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ living in me. And the life that I now live, I live by believing this all, staying in faith. Yeah? I live by faith in the Son of God who died and rose for me. Yeah? Come on. All I'm preaching to you is Christianity, straight up scriptural. Be very careful you haven't bought into something that was never offered by him. Be very careful you didn't buy into doctrine, religion. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I don't. We're so quick to cast our opinions. Okay, so what do you believe and how is that producing life?
Well, I just don't think you have to be so passionate and emotional.
Okay, great. You got to look at your side and your answer then. What's your response to that? It's great if you have that opinion. But are you producing life? Are you waking up to commune with him, to know him? And are you thinking about walking in the light during your day? You see what I'm saying? See, most people that disagree with things have contention in their heart and they're not producing anything otherwise. Are you following me? So then their contention is blinding them from being fruitful, but their disagreement is justifying their contention. Are you guys okay? I've just seen it. I've seen people, they just get issues. Well, but they're not producing anything greater than what they're... And that's the dead giveaway. So what they're actually doing is justifying staying the same, so tomorrow's always yesterday. And there's never change. Man, the gospel's all about change. The gospel's all about new life, a new and living way, new wine, new way of thinking. It's called born again. Yeah? So why am I crying this out so passionately? Because it's everybody's calling here. He paid the price. And, God wouldn't have paid the price. God the Father wouldn't have paid the price of his son if he didn't think your and my life lived in him was worth that price. He believes you and me alive in him is worth his son dying on that cross. That's humbling to me. That might not be humbling to you. I'm not comparing me to you. I'm just saying to me, that's humbling. It's worth talking about. That this isn't just an Easter story. It's not just a suffering Savior. It's not just makeup and making a bunch of cuts and bruises and bashes and having a battered Savior so I look and go, oh, and feel bad for my life. No, it's about going, man, he actually did that. Never let men change who he was. Hung there, covered us with a multitude of sin with grace and love and said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. And then in exchange, put his life in me. That's a big deal to me. I'm saying, man, I wish that was a big deal to all of us, right? I'm like, I want us to see that. And I just pray that grace come on that kind of truth so that we see his first love and go, whoa, this thing is a whole lot more than me catching a blessing or getting a passport to heaven. Preachers for years have preached heaven versus hell and trying to escape hell. And yeah, you got a heaven to gain, a hell to shun. That has nothing to do with the gospel. The gospel has you seeking first the kingdom of God and preaching, going, saying the kingdom of God is here. You can see it by the way I live my life. Trying to gain heaven and shun hell is not the goal of the cross. The goal of the cross is to put his life and his ways back inside of you and redeem mankind back to what he intended when he made him in the first place. We've turned it into a self-centered message, something I get from him or that I avoid because of him. And all of a sudden, it's still all about me and what I'm getting instead of him and what I'm becoming. That's why it's easy to go to church and do ministry and shout down your spouse and ignore and be rude and belittle. I said, it happens all the time in people. And it's an indictment against us that we really don't totally understand what we're doing and what we're a part of. And we actually think, oh, this is normal and everybody's doing it anyway. Well, Jesus isn't. Jesus isn't. And if he isn't, I'm not going to either. I'm going to seek him until he empowers me to follow him. But I'm not going to touch my wife in a way that he wouldn't. And that way I'm going to love her as he loves the church, whether she's right or whether she's wrong. Yay. And it just makes me a happy man to be able to walk in love and not let my wife's actions determine who I am and how I am. I would say, I love her. You get it? It's what we're all called to, everybody in the room. You're not called to be loved by him and loved by her. You're called to be loved by him, so you become the same. And honestly, if I read this Bible, nothing else matters. That's where you live from. Whether they receive you or whether they reject you, you don't change because your motive is pure. And you're not doing it so you win something. You're not doing it so you get something. You're doing it because you've become something and it's who you are. Because you see something that you saw in him and he's the light of the world and now you let your light so shine. Boy, that sure beats attitude and beat down and mouthy and whatever. I never saw any of those things produce life. I've seen people busy being so right that they were so wrong. If God came right, we're wrong. But he came righteous, didn't he? And he rules his kingdom with a scepter of righteousness. He made things that were wrong possible to be made right. I was so wrong, and I stand here right in his sight. That's righteousness. If he came wrong, right, I'm wrong, and I can't make up for wrong. I'm just judged wrong. He came righteous. He sees me in a way that sweeps away all the wrong and leaves me standing right in his sight so I can go back to purpose, back to potential, as if sin never happened, and get on with why I'm here. And that's the only place, people, you'll ever find this word called freedom. It's the only place you'll ever find what it really means. When you get free from yourself, which is the biggest lie on the planet, the biggest problem on the planet is not who the president is and the whole racial hidden conflicts that's on the earth and the whole terrorism threats that are out there. They're all real issues. None of that stuff is the problem. The problem is that every day men wake up and live for themselves when they're made for God's image. That's the number one problem. And Jesus has an answer for it. He says, follow me. He didn't say, sing to me. He didn't say, pray to me to get a benefit. He said, follow me. And if you want to follow me, Matthew 16, there's something you've got to do. You've got to deny yourself because it's the biggest problem in your life. You live in for you. You can't be a Christian for you. You can't be married for you. You can't be in a relationship for you. You can't even have a job for you. Or you'll never be satisfied. Complaining will be your normal. You have to do everything you do for the kingdom of God. I wonder if you're on a job where you're doing your job under the Lord and your boss isn't appreciating you. Will you just quit and look for another job? Or do you keep doing your work under the Lord? Do you keep being a living example to your employees and your fellow employees that see what's going down, but they don't see you shift or change or even shake?
And all of a sudden they understand there's another way to think than they've always been taught. And now all of a sudden you have a voice in their life and they're asking you questions behind the scenes. Oh, I've been through this so much just because of the way I've set my heart to live. So I love, there's nothing greater than working in a secular job. I left full-time pastoring just to go back into a sin-riddled warehouse and have a blast. I told them, don't give me any salary. I'm just going to take a season and go in here and just work. And they were like, huh? I said, just let me go. I asked the board to just let me go. And they went, okay. So I just went into a warehouse and just worked. And they would treat me well pastoring. I got a whole lot less money a month. Didn't even think about that till I got my paycheck. It was hilarious. It was just hilarious. Because I'm in there doing it for the right reasons. I never in my Christian life had money show up in my mailbox. And all of a sudden I'm opening up a letter from California and there's $100 bills in it. And I'm like, what is this? I don't know why, but you've been on my heart. Haven't seen you forever. Out in the West Coast doing fine, but thought I was to send you this. And I'm like, and everything that I was missing on my paycheck was coming into my hands. And it's like, whoa. And money was never my concern, or I'd already did the math before I made the decision. Money was never even my thought. I had so much fun in that warehouse. Then people thought I was a Martian. They thought I was from outer space. They mocked me. They made fun of me in the beginning. And by the end, it was amazing what God did. And then the Lord said, I want you back in the office. And I didn't even want to go back to the office. I was having so much fun. See, in the office, everything's Christian. Even the backslidden people say, amen, brother. In the warehouse, they did not say, amen, brother. They said, bleepity blank blop, blip. And who in the blank to you and what in the blup? It's just raw. I remember going to forklift drivers to get moves made, and they're fussing me because they're busy, and everybody needs a move. What are you? Well, just get in line. I said, listen, man, it's okay. I'm just getting on the list. I'm going to need it at some time. If you want to just sit it there across, I'll pick it up then. Yeah, whatever. And I turn. Hey, man. It's been on your heart heavy. It's been hurting you. It's one of the reasons you feel so frustrated right now. What are you talking about? Bo, 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 bo. Grown men. Standing on a forklift. Oh, I love it. I just love it. Why? Not because I'm making them cry. Because he loves them so much that he's way bigger than their attitude. And God doesn't get ruffled and hackles and offended. Where sin abounds, grace comes greater to overtake it. So here I am, a Christian, and I'm going to get upset because a forklift driver has an attitude? Hello, little deeper than that, guys. Little deeper than starting to slowly resent him and look that I have an order in his aisle and now I got to face him and I hope he's off sick today because I've had enough of him. Come on, all these things are real. I've been that way when I lived apart from Jesus. And all that got blown away because Holy Spirit taught me that Christianity was not church attendance, it's life in Christ. So now I'm privileged to go up to the forklift driver and get my move and just hear from the Lord without even looking for a word of knowledge. And all of a sudden, God just loving him and meeting him right where he's at. And he can't not cry because it's so real. I could tell you stories like that for 2 hours straight just from 6 months of working there. 2 hours. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you what's possible if you have the right mentality on why you woke up. And all of a sudden, you don't even know how to feel sorry for yourself. It's not about what you're going through. It's about what he went through and the price he paid to put his life inside of you. Actually, the supervisor at that job, the head man in the warehouse, should have been more professional, should have probably had better training, and I could have held him accountable for all of it. He's the one that persecuted me the most. The head guy mocked me openly in front of all the guys. The most. He'd walk through in the morning. We're all sitting there getting ready to start. He'd say, hallelujah, brothers. Amen. And they'd all giggle and chuckle. And he'd stroll through. And one day he'd come by me in the aisle. And the Lord just read his mail to a T. And he stood there and trembled and shook. And said, how did you know? And when he said, how did you know that? He didn't get the word that out because it hit him, the one he's been mocking. Mm. He said, how did you know? And I looked at him and smiled and I said, yeah, that's exactly how I knew, man. The one you've been mocking that you haven't known and you don't understand. You're not an evil man. You're just deceived. You didn't understand. And ta-da-da, but God loves you. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm talking to him and he's like, I think we need to talk. I said, I think we need to talk. He left the job that day. He could not function. He was so trembling. Because God gave me a word of knowledge for that man that was so detailed and so precise that if I'm wrong, I look like a fool. But if I'm right, he goes, and I just happened to be right. Details. Listen, you're not doing good, man. You've been in a deep depression for months. You haven't slept for months. You're going back to New York. You're quitting this job. You're suicidal. I just ripped it all off. And he went, does it show? I said, no. I said, in the church, we have a word called a hypocrite. It means a play actor. I said, you do that well. He said, then how did you know? And it hit him. How I knew. You just saw a grown man fall apart. So as soon as I left work, I shot to his apartment because he stopped in the aisle and said, I got to leave. I'm so shook up. I said, okay. He said, can you come to my apartment? I said, I'll come. He gave me his address and I knew where it was. I walked up to his door and knocked. And I ended up getting in there. He's sitting on the couch. I sat on the couch and told him the beauty of the gospel and the why behind the cross that he was persecuting. He cried like a baby and said, that's the most beautiful thing I ever heard. I was mocking something I didn't even understand. He said, how can I know Jesus like I see him in you? I said, it's pretty easy, man. Give me your hand. And we prayed. And I don't know why he does this, the Lord, but he knocked this guy out right on his couch. He was gone. I prayed with him and he was gone. Gone. I was like, I just shut the door and left. I figured he's in good hands. That was Saturday night. They had made an agreement with me when I got hired that I wouldn't work on Sundays. They would never schedule me Sundays just because of my pastoring thing that I was still doing on Sundays. But Sunday morning, I came home from church. My phone was flashing, which is normal. But he was right there, first one. And you should have heard that. He said, Dan, this is so-and-so. I just want to thank you for Jesus. I'm like, he said, man, I slept all night long. I woke up this morning. He said, this is exactly how he said it, how I remember. He said, peace, peace, peace. Said it three times. Like, he said, I didn't know there was such a thing like this peace I'm feeling. He said, oh my goodness, thank you for Jesus, Dan. I can't wait to see you at work. I just wanted to call and say thank you. Bless you. I'll see you soon. And then I hit the answering machine repeat button like three times and just tortured my emotions. Because my wife and I were crying. And as soon as he was done, I hit repeat. And then the third time, you know what's coming. So you're already crying. You're like, wow. Well, that sure beats being offended at him because he's persecuting me. How shallow is that? Anybody that doesn't know Jesus can do that. And that's a zero. That'll never accomplish anything. It'll just give you a right to be whatever it is you're being, and it'll have nothing to do with the Lord. And then you show up for church and do service. Make sure that's never, ever, ever you in your life. That would be grave deception, since he paid a price for you to walk in light. Are you hearing me? Yeah. I just feel like this is the stuff my heart burns with all the time, just so we can be authentic and real. Do you know how much hypocrisy in the church has hurt people? Do you know how much it's hurt onlookers? Do you know how many people I sit on airplanes beside that won't go to church anymore because of the horror and the memories and the bad and the failure? And some of it's, they need this message too. I get it. And they're letting people decide, and I get it. So I have that chance on the airplane, believe me. I've lost count of people that cry on an airplane that I sit beside. They ask me questions. It's their fault. They asked me why I was in town. Why are you going home? Are you on business? Why were you in town? And they say, oh, really? And then they'll ask me one more question. And I'm like a pull cord doll, man. How are you doing? I'm not like, well, hanging in there, man. I'm cool, man. I'm just glad my flight's on time, bud.
Okay, probably a little deeper than that. How are you doing? Oh my.
I can't even tell you how many people have had the same line. Oh, well, I used to go to church. I'll say, well, I'll tell them why I was in town. I'll share my heart a little. And I say, you love Jesus, don't you? And it just freaks them out when you say, you love Jesus, right? Tell me you love him. Come on, I know you love him. Well, I mean, I used to go to church. That's how they answer. Which means I have no relationship with Jesus. I have a short church history that I got offended by, so I don't go back. But I have no reality in God, and he is not my king, and no, I don't love him. I'm offended, is what they're saying without knowing it. So I address it, and you can't even imagine how many people I've watched cry on an airplane because they're harboring all this stuff, and they're being deceived and don't even realize it until you speak it. Some of them actually have convictions, and then you just touch, you scratch that thing, and they fester. Now watch this. Not judging you, and I'm not saying this self-righteous. Just watch this. If I'm caught up with issues and I got my own stuff going on, I got nothing to give them. I certainly don't have an answer for them, and I might not even be talking to them in the first place because I got my own stuff to deal with. And all of a sudden, I could be a shallow ass. I couldn't put my bag above my seat. I got to go back three bays. I can't believe I have to sit in the middle. And all of a sudden, I'm selling cheap, and the whole time, scripturally, I'm not for sale. Y'all with me? So what would you get out of something like this morning? If you get something just simple, just be, man, the why behind my life. Why am I alive? Why is Jesus in me? Why did he pay the price he paid? I want to go after that truth, and I want to become more an expression of that truth in my life. Pastor nailed it. He said, above all things, you have to want to be. If you're going to walk in love, you have to want to. You'd be amazed in a room this small how many people are in a room this size. I've learned this, that really when it boils down to it, don't want to become love. They want to hold on to the rights they inherited through the fall of man. The he said, she said of life. The tit for tat. Well, you're telling me, well, ain't nobody going to push me around. Well, I ain't going to be nobody's doormat. That's the mentality in a lot of folks that go to church. And they prove it by the way they live their life when they get offended. I wonder if you really did live. My pastor, he jokes. He said, when I first met Dan, he came and he preached. The first time he was ever at church, he preached about not living offended and that Jesus was teaching him how to not be offended, that you couldn't offend him. And he said, when he said it, it offended me. My pastor, that's his story. He said, when he stood up there and said that, it offended me because I knew I couldn't say that and I didn't think it was possible because it wasn't my experience. And he said, the fact that he was up there saying he's offended, I thought he was being high-minded and popping off. And I just was offended that he couldn't be offended. I was offended that he couldn't be offended. It's his testimony. It's so funny when he tells it. Because my pastor's amazing. And he's an unoffendable man. Because he's understood now and he's grown. And he's learned to not let our own experience be our standard. But we're going to follow him. We've gotten tricked into following ourselves. You say, well, yeah, but brother, everybody's going to have their moments. Where did you get that? Did you learn that from him? Did he tell you that? Or did life's experience tell you that? And are you buying time? See, because when you say, well, yeah, but everybody's going to have their moments, that's why you're going to have yours. So if you take away the runway, the belief system, the plane has nowhere to land. Are you seeing? So some of these things we got to let the gospel take out of us so we realize there's a higher way to think and live. Y'all cool? Can I pray over you? You guys encouraged? You're looking at me kind of like, y'all all right? All right, I'm going to trust you all right. I want you all right. You know I didn't come to spank you, right? I didn't spank nobody today. I'm telling you who you're created to be. All I am is telling you who you are. If it's adjusting and correcting, that's okay. But my goal was never to spank nobody, and I'm not suggesting you're messing up. I'm saying don't. Just kidding. I'm saying this is what we're called to. Don't think I drove here to tell you you're messing up and to correct you. I drove here to tell you who you are. Yeah? And to tell you what he paid for and what's possible. And the first thing he needs from you, sincerely,
is willingness. That when you're treated wrong, you won't live treated wrong. And that Holy Spirit will help you to accomplish that. That when you're done wrong, you won't live done wrong. That when you're betrayed in the course of life, that you won't live betrayed. And nobody will even know you were betrayed because all they saw you do was shine. That's going to matter in the end, I promise. I can show you a lot of people in my life that know Jesus because they saw my life. I could introduce you to a lot of folks I worked with that were no way saved, that are in love with Jesus because they watched what that looked like.
Yay.
I'm just convinced, and I want you to be convinced by it, and I want you to go after it and live it, because if you multiply your life and my life and your life and your life and your life and everybody else's life in this light, just think of the impact that could have when you and I care that much to really be sincere. You with me? That no matter if everybody around you wants to fight and argue, you're going to be a peacemaker, because blessed are the peacemakers, because the peacemakers are the sons of God. Well, you don't know what I got to live with. Well, you don't know what they put me through. I would love you to challenge that alibi, because you're making where they're not greater than who he is. And I'll bet you there's a greater grace in him. Y'all good? Can I pray? And I'll be done. I'll be done. No, no, I'm done. I'll be done. No, there's people can't take no more. I can feel it. Some people don't want no more, I promise. Some people didn't want any in the first place. So I'll just take it while I'm barely ahead. Can we pray? When we pray, I want you to be sincere and believe that grace is going to come into your life because you want it. And that's the biggest thing. What Pastor said is, I want you to look at when we pray. Do I really want to live this way? Do I really care? And if you feel like you don't care that much, say to God when I pray, Lord, if you want me to care, then put it in me. If you want my attention in the areas this man's talking, then burn it in my heart. I'm willing to let you have your way. If you'll do that, that'll be amazing. Okay? So, Father, I just thank you right now for this house. I thank you for this body here, Life Church, and I pray that that would be exactly what this is, a church of life, a church that brings life, gives life, because they've received life.
Yes.
And I just pray that the name of this church would just manifest greatly over the years, and I pray it would be their legacy,
yes,
a church that carried life and manifested it,
yes,
and multiplied it. So, Father, touch homes, touch marriages, touch relationships. But even more than that, in a general sense, would you touch individual hearts to want to live this truth like never before? That each person would care more about what they're expressing than what happened to them or how they were treated. But they would actually think higher about Christ in them than situations towards them. And Lord, would you let us rule and reign in that truth, in your grace, all the days of our lives, and let our lives speak of you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.